I'd like to share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
When I looked, it was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globine.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac from Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies, and you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. But it's at Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Mac, Nightmare Cinema. Bye!
Wondering where you can get the latest news and reviews from the world of paranormal entertainment? Frank and Laura take a look at the latest happenings and break down what's new on TV and at the movies each week on Spooktacular, your paranormal entertainment roundup. Check them out by searching for Spooktacular in iTunes or head on over to Spooktacular.com. Oh yeah, be sure to bring along a friend because no one should listen alone.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Woo!
Yes.
I am Mr. Multitasker.
Scott is smoking right now. If you could see him in his seat, there's just this... this layer of smoke rising off of him. I'm in awe of him tonight. I want to be like Scott when I grow up. Not really.
Well, it's funny being a radio host.
Just say it, being a radio star. Say it. I know you want to. Say it, Scott. Say it.
I'm much more humble than that.
Say it.
Jerry Smith's professional career as a writer, lecturer, and editor began with his first writing sale back in 1969. He has since made over 300 radio and television appearances, plus speaking engagements from Brisbane, Australia, to the Bahamas, to Brazil. His bibliography of published works includes scores of articles and reviews, over a dozen ghost-written books, and three nonfiction works from Adventures Unlimited Press. His newest book, Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, it is a follow-up to the 1998 bestseller HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of Conspiracy. 2005 saw the release of Secrets of the Holy Lance, The Spear of Destiny in History and Legend, which was co-authored by George Picard, who wrote Liquid Conspiracy, JFK, LSD, the CIA, Area 51, and UFOs. God, that's a
holy moly!
In the 1990s, Jerry was the executive director of the National UFO Museum, NUFOM, in Reno, Nevada, while editing NUFOM's quarterly journal, Notes from the Hangar, and Jim Key's political metaphysical magazine, Dharma Combat. So obviously, Jerry Smith, who's been here before...
There's nothing he doesn't do.
There's nothing that he doesn't do, obviously. And we want to welcome his website is www.jerry.es. Did I spell that wrong?
Is it just Jerry Smith or is it Jerry E. Smith?
Jerry E. Smith.
Okay, all right. I thought that was a typo. Sorry. JerryESmith.com. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back with you. And there is one thing I don't do. I don't do the hokey pokey.
Oh, come on.
What was going on while I was gone here?
No, we can't discuss that. That was just between he and I.
What is with you? You're like being a surrogate mother and now you're screwing with the guests. What's going on here?
Was I screwing with you at all in any way, shape, or form?
Well, to let the audience in on it, as Scott was leaving to go off and do something very important, he told Bonnie to sing to me. And then I got an earful of how it is she doesn't sing to the guests. So I suggested that she take up yodeling.
Which I'm going to do.
You're going to start yodeling.
Yeah. And then I'm going to do it in studio.
Oh, God.
And then she was trying to figure out what to do after that, and I suggested writing poems in the form of palindromes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go, Bonnie.
He gave me all kinds of ideas.
There's a couple of things you can learn there, Bonnie, for the show. It'll add to the quality of the show.
Oh, yeah. Me yodeling will definitely.
Now, Weather Warfare, Jerry, and we've talked about this in the past, I find this an absolutely fascinating subject. You know, with nature and man, you know, and I'm always fascinated every day. I mean, and I don't take these things for granted. I mean, I think there are some things out there that are a bad manipulation of the elements, but I think there's a lot of things out there that are a good manipulation of the elements. And I think weather, I mean, as far as weather control, it's the ultimate manipulation of the elements, I think. And that's why I found this subject so fascinating. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Somewhat, yes.
It's just one of those things where, I mean... Well, I guess we can just dive right into it. You begin the book, as far as the book's concerned, you begin with a quote from Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen. And why did you do that?
Well, it seems to be, let me give you the quote, and that quote is, And now, Cohen was speaking as the Secretary of Defense in his official capacity. So you can take this as an understanding of the United States government. So in 1997, the United States government believed, quote, others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts.
Okay.
The book, Weather Warfare, is a 400-page examination of whether or not that's a true statement.
Okay.
And, of course, I came to the conclusion that he was speaking sooth, that others are doing these things and many more.
Well, and obviously the term weather warfare, I mean, this would be used, obviously, as a tool of combat. And, I mean, just to think about, you know, being able to, you know, create an earthquake or a hurricane or any sort of thing like that against the opposition, I mean, it seems to me, again, it would be the ultimate weapon.
Absolutely. And, indeed, the book is, you know, the title of a book is not really the list of the contents. It's an attempt to... from the shelf to grab a potential reader's attention.
Oh, yeah.
And weather warfare is about a great deal more than just the weather. It's about the entire environment, earth, sea, and sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reading title, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, it's about more than just the military. There's a whole lot of players in this game, corporations and terrorists who are in it for a variety of reasons.
Well, can I ask you maybe a few reasons why a corporation would have a stance in something like this?
Well, here's an easy one.
Okay.
Enron.
Okay.
Enron, the energy giant that went so spectacularly tango uniform a few years back, they developed something called weather derivatives. Now, weather derivatives were a vehicle whereby they could bet via the stock market whether the temperatures were going to go up and down. If the temperatures go down in winter or up in summer, energy providers make a great deal of money. Enron invented the weather derivative and invested, they were $1 billion with B dollars into weather derivatives. Now, I lived for 18 years in Reno, Nevada, a gambling town, and it's really hard for me to imagine somebody walking into a casino, walking up to the craps table, putting $1 billion on the come line, and not having the game rigged.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, to put that kind of money down on something like that, it's pretty obvious, I think, that they're going to – who would bet that kind of money if it wasn't going to be a 100% safe bet?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, I mean, I can totally see that. So more or less, I mean, Enron's one. Is there any other companies that are involved with this? I mean, did you know?
Well, let's take another angle of this. You're familiar with the phrase civilian contractor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we hear that phrase a lot these days. Well, it goes back a ways. The United States military used weather as a weapon during the Vietnam War. This was Operation Popeye. Operation Popeye was ongoing from 1968 to 72. They flew more than 2,700 sorties, releasing more than 47,000 units of cloud-seeding materials over four countries, North and South Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, the latter two in violation of international law, at an operational cost of about $21.6 million. The effort was an attempt to extend the monsoon season over Southeast Asia to turn the Viet Cong resupply route into a hopeless quagmire of mud. When this got released to the public, Senator Claiborne Pell, Democrat, Rhode Island, launched an investigation in the Senate and called in then-Secretary of Defense Melvin Laird. And Laird lied to Congress and said, no, this is nonsense, this is not going on, it's not real. 2 years later, a private letter from Laird got leaked to the press in which he admitted that Operation Popeye was real and ongoing. At that time, Pell reconvened his convention, or his investigation, and by that time, Laird was no longer Secretary of Defense. He was now a private lawyer working for Richard Nixon, who was fighting for his political life in the aftermath of the Watergate break-in. But he did get the Pentagon to agree to secret closed-door sessions, which were made public sometime later.
Mm-hmm.
In the secret sessions, they admitted that Popeye was real. Laird, astounded by this, demanded to know what else they were doing, and they trotted out an insane laundry list of other technologies that they were working on, including intentionally melting Arctic ice, intentionally thinning out the ozone layer over the enemy so as to sicken the enemy populace through increased exposure to solar radiation. Pell became what we what today we would call the poster child for movement to create an international treaty banning weather as a weapon. And in 1978, that treaty was signed into law. It was sponsored in the United Nations by the U.S. and the USSR. That treaty is called the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. Now, environmental modification techniques is what Pell was investigating. At the time, the United States federal government was spending between $40 and $140 million a year, and had over 700 degreed scientists working on projects to modify the environment. After we signed that treaty, the federal budget went to zero, and those jobs vanished. And Uncle Sam did not say, "Whoop, can't do that anymore." No, it all went off budget and beyond congressional scrutiny by being turned over to civilian contractors. Among those civilian contractors is a company in Fargo, North Dakota, with a hilarious name of Weather Modification Incorporated. Now, Weather Modification Incorporated has been a principal conduit for Uncle Sam's playing with the environmental modification since the late 70s. And the proof of this is that in 2005, one of the senior scientists at Weather Modification Incorporated went on Art Bell's Coast to Coast AM show and outed himself as having been one of the scientists working on Operation Popeye.
Really?
Yep.
So he came public then. I mean,
yes.
he went and spilled the beans, so to say. I have to comment on this. Weather Modification Incorporated?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that in and of itself? I mean, that just kind of lets the cat out of the bag there, too. I mean, why would you name a... I mean, is that just one of those blatant things that... Let's just put it in their face. And I mean, I don't understand why a company would actually just name themselves that when it's been clearly stated that they should not be...
It's against the law to use it for hostile purposes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for aggressive purposes.
So right, but you see what Weather Modification Incorporated does is they do civilian science versions. They are very pointed about. I mean, they never mention any sort of Uncle Sam except in that there are local, state, regional water bureaus that hire them to increase snowpacks, to prevent hail, and to increase precipitation. There are several water boards in the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, the Western Plains, Kansas, Nebraska, etc., that hire these and other similar companies to come out during the growing season. And you know that if hail falls, hail can destroy $1 billion worth of crops in a morning.
Oh yeah.
And so what these guys do is they go up with their cloud seeding planes and force the clouds to rain out before it becomes hail, so that instead of getting crop destroying hail, you get the double benefit of increased precipitation, so you get more lovely rain and less nasty hail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the primary. That's their bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
They also are contracted to Weather Modification Incorporated also has one of their clients are the ski resorts in Sun Valley, Idaho. And by increasing the snowpack in Sun Valley, Idaho, they can extend the skiing season and make the ski operators more money.
Well, and these seem like, and again, I guess I have my personal issues on this. I'm sure you do too, Bonnie.
Mm.
Where, you know, I mean, these seem to be, well, beneficial things for big business, obviously.
Yep.
As far as, you know, let's extend the ski season. Well, that's whatever, okay? But it just seems to me, again, and I'm sure you have opinions on this too, Jerry, that, you know, you just don't. I don't think there's any benefit in really messing with nature like that, or
right.
really putting your hands in nature and in preventing the, you know, what nature does, what the earth does naturally. But this go ahead, Jerry.
There is a great deal of debate on this subject. The very first rainmakers were over 100 years ago. in the 1890s. Let me go back. The Civil War, the U.S. Civil War, a number of people noted that great battles were often followed by great rainstorms, and there were a number of theories as to what caused this. And a United States general was granted a patent for his theory in 1880. The United States federal government then decided to prove whether or not this was a workable idea, and the Secretary of Interior or Agriculture, probably Agriculture, sent a team to the staked plains of Texas, which today we know as New Mexico, where they, which is oddly enough the area of Roswell, New Mexico, and all the craziness there. And the team spent several weeks mimicking a battle and got rain in doing so. Now, the general's theory, the general had operated an artillery battle, or an artillery battery for the Confederate side, and after the war, he rejoined the Union, and he thought that his cannons were responsible for the rain, and his theory was based on the concussion theory of rainmaking. We now know that actually what it was the smoke and dust of the battle form what are called nucleating particles, that is, particles that form the nucleus of a raindrop. Water collects around the nucleating particle until there's so much moisture attached to the nucleating particle that it's too heavy to stay aloft and falls as a drop of rain.
Okay.
That led to Dr. Bernard Vonnegut. Dr. Vonnegut is the little brother of Kurt Vonnegut Jr., the famed novelist.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Vonnegut was a very successful inventor, and he came up with the idea of using silver iodide as a nucleating particle in 1947. And that's cloud seeding, and that is the state of the art. That is the most commonly used form of rainmaking today is Vonnegut's cloud seeding technology.
Tell me about, if you don't mind, what cloud seeding. That's an interesting term. What is that?
Well, that is you have these expensive private jet private airplanes that fly up into the clouds and release. They have these explosive charges, little missiles that go out and explode in the clouds and release nucleating particles, which are some sort of a chemical, most commonly silver iodide, but there's a dozen others that are in use. And this is a chemical that is extremely water-friendly, and airborne moisture, H2O, attaches itself to this, and you can have 100 H2O molecules attached to one of these silver iodide particles that works as a seed to grow a raindrop, and you can induce rain from it. There's a great deal of debate as to how effective this is. The mainstream scientists want to quantify things, and you can't get a number on this. You can't say that 12% of the rain that fell was due to cloud seeding. You can get, well, there seems to have been rain when there might not have been, or there seems to be a bit more rain but you can't quantify it. So mainstream science for 100 years now has been unwilling to put its stamp of approval on the technology. So it is to this day a questionable science. And in the 1890s, there was a veritable army of rainmakers who appeared on the scene after the United States government in the 1880s said, yeah, you know, under certain circumstances, this does work, there was a whole bunch of people who turned up to do this. And curiously, from that day to this, there have been several ongoing, unresolved issues, one of which are tort issues. If I pay you to make it rain, and you make it rain, but it doesn't fall on my property but on my neighbor's, do I have to pay you?
Wow.
Yeah.
If I pay you to make it rain 1 inch and you make it rain 3 and my cattle drown, do I have to pay you?
Well, it's obviously, because it's not, like you've already stated, it's not an exact science. They cannot quantify any of this stuff just yet.
Right. A classic example of this was 1919. A rainmaker by the name of Hatfield was contracted by the city of San Diego, California, to make it rain. It had not rained all summer. It had not rained at all, spring or summer. It was impossibly dry. And he came in, and within 24 hours of him setting up his equipment, there was a deluge. So much so that several creeks overran their banks, a dam broke, several people were killed.
Oh.
Because he overproduced on the amount of rain desired, the city refused to pay him and ran him out of town on a rail.
Oh, my God.
Again. Now, another aspect of this, and this is why where we first started on this, mm-hmm. is the moral issue of, is it okay for man to muck about in God's domain? From the rainmakers of the 1890s on, there have been people who believe that it was inappropriate, that it was messing in God's territory to go mucking about in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
An example of this is just a couple of years ago, I think it was about 3 years ago in February, a local water board in the Texas Panhandle area was having their annual budget meeting, and they expected it to just rubber stamp another year's worth of expenditures for a cloud seeding company to come in and do hail suppression and precipitation enhancement as they have been doing for a decade. And the bureaucrats found themselves in a room filled with angry housewives and farmers demanding they stop doing it, because these people were all convinced that the government was mucking about in God's territory, and only God was allowed to decide how much rain there should be, and they shouldn't be hiring crackpots to come out and mess around in God's sky.
And that's coming from farmers also, who would have, I mean, they all have a vested interest in good weather, obviously.
Exactly.
And even they were up in arms.
Exactly. So this is a very ticklish subject. There is unresolved religious questions and unresolved legal questions for over 100 years now on the use of this technology, and this is just using it for civilian, much less using it for covert military operations.
Let's move to that. We got to take a quick break here and do the news and stuff like that. But if we can we move to more of the large-scale stuff? I mean, I imagine that's where we're going anyways. But, yeah, let's try to move to the large-scale things like you're talking about, Jerry. Is that cool if we take a break?
Absolutely.
Let's take a quick break here. We're going to do the news, the paranormal news with Bonnie Vent. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after I turn up the volume for the channel. Here we go. We're out of here. Bye-bye.
Ghostly Talk!
Science has learned that all people possess mental powers which pass the boundaries of the natural.
Ghosts, Bigfoot, extraterrestrials,
Terra Hub Radio,
psychics, parapsychology, Loch Ness Monster,
Terra Hub Radio,
paranormal news, giveaways, open chat,
Terra Hub Radio,
classic rock, and paranormal talk, Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, at parahub.org, bounceradio.net, and beastradio.com.
Is the veil between this world and the next getting thinner? I'm Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal, Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
We go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/ Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/ CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now.
Welcome to Paranormal Headline News, produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. This is Bonnie Vent. Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver or dinner and a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson recently investigated the Cornwall Jail. The duo, along with other members of TAP, spent several days at the jail for an upcoming episode of Ghost Hunters. Along with interviewing local history buff Ian Bowering and others, the group spent two nights in the jail with a variety of audio and video equipment trying to detect paranormal activity. So how did they fare? Well, they can't say anything before the show airs, but they acknowledge the jail's past and claims of weird activity in the building made for an interesting case. Prior to arriving in Cornwall, the group investigated Fort Henry in Kingston, and the two sites mark the first time Ghost Hunters has filmed in Canada. The show airs on the Space Channel in Canada, and while the exact date is not yet known, a co-producer of the show said the episode featuring the Cornwall Jail will likely air in mid to late September. A South St. Paul family believes the world's paranormal community helped heal their little girl through the power of prayer. While most 8-year-olds are out enjoying their summer vacations, Gabby Mathis is stuck in the house. Mathis was riding her bike down the alley to her grandfather's house when she was hit by a car. By the time Mathis got to the hospital, she was bleeding in her brain and doctors didn't know if she was ever going to wake up. That's when Dave Schrader, Paranormal Talk Radio host, heard about the accident and asked his listeners to pray for Mathis both on the air and on his MySpace page. A few days later, Mathis was awake and acting like nothing was wrong, much to her doctor's surprise. As a paranormal investigator, Mathis's mom has seen a share of strange sights, but she says this one tops them all. Mathis will have to undergo therapy for some short-term memory loss, but other than that, doctors say she's going to make a full recovery. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget to sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com or join us at bonnievent.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant, Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
This is Ghostly Talk.
More synchronicity there.
Oh, you have no idea how much synchronicity there was.
That's a trip. Yeah.
I was on Dave Schrader, who you mentioned in the last segment. I was on his show last night during an electrical storm.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to be on this show next Saturday.
Oh, no kidding. Well, what, did they lose the show because of the storm?
Nope. No, it's just we had so much material to cover, he insisted he had to have me back.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, we're talking weather warfare here. We're alluding to, I mean, it was funny because we're sitting here waiting for the wind to come back on the air and we hear this thunder, and I'm like, Didn't even think about that when I was getting things ready for the show this weekend. So kind of some strange synchronicity there. I, you know, maybe whether it was conscious or not conscious, I have no idea. But interesting nonetheless. Before, in the last segment, we were talking with you, Jerry, about this, and you were talking more of the home-based consumer type thing when it comes to weather warfare, okay? And we kind of alluded to going to the more large-scale type things. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I mean, where to start with this? We talked about cloud seeding. As far as the large scales, I mean.
Okay. Well, I got an easy one for
okay,
you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. China hosted the Summer Olympics last year.
Yeah.
And if you remember, the Summer Olympics were held in Beijing during the rainy season. And yet the Chinese government promised and delivered perfect weather for opening day. How did they do that? Well, the way they did that is that there is a Chinese bureaucracy that controls the weather over China. And this bureaucracy has been up and running for over a decade. 5 years ago, they had 35,000 full-time employees. They ramped it up to 37-plus for the Olympics. Now, these full-time employees are mostly engaging in, as we've been talking about, precipitation enhancement and hail suppression and dispersing fog from airports. What has been taking place, quietly beneath the radar, if you will,
mm-hmm.
is that downwind of them is North Korea. North Korea has been in a drought for the same decade because the Chinese have been gleefully stealing North Korea's rain.
Are you kidding?
I wish I were.
Now, I imagine. I mean, is North Korea involved with this, or is I don't know if you know this or not, Jerry, but I mean, do they have any knowledge that their rain literally is being stealed right out from under them?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Let me give you the broadest of this, and
okay.
That is what we're talking about here is something called geophysical warfare.
Okay.
Dr. Gordon J.F. MacDonald in 1966 wrote, "The key to geophysical warfare is the identification of environmental instabilities, to which the addition of a small amount of energy would release vastly greater amounts of energy."
Okay.
As an example, if you were to put a little bit of energy into, say a few million watts of radio frequency energy into the ground, that would move the ground and cause it to vibrate and cause a slippage on an earthquake fault line,
mm-hmm.
you could induce an earthquake that would flatten the city and kill hundreds of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of energy in, a lot of energy out.
Okay.
Now, who was Dr. Gordon J.F. MacDonald? He was one of America's most revered, respected leading scientists. He was the associate director of the Institute of Geophysics and Planetary Physics at UCLA. One of the ionospheric heaters in Alaska, High Pass, is operated by UCLA.
Okay.
He was a member of the President's Science Advisory Council and a member of the President's Council on Environmental Quality. He was also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, which should mean something to some of your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a member of the JASONS. Now, the JASONS are a subject that rarely comes up. Most people have never heard of the JASONS. The JASONS are a private, independent consulting firm that are a division of the MITRE Corporation, who were the people who did the horribly flawed environmental impact study for the HARP project.
Mm-hmm.
They contract with senior government agencies, the DOD particularly, to look down the road and have the highest possible level of scientists. The five-star superstar scientists are members of the JASONS. And they look 50 years down the road to see what sort of weaponry we're going to need in order for the U.S. to be the planet's top dog.
Mm-hmm.
As a member of the JASONS, Dr. McDonald was one of those people who knew what was in the pipeline, what the exotics were, what the long-term thinking, and what kind of bizarre, incredible, strange weaponry, what science fiction was being turned into science fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, McDonald died under suspicious circumstances, and a lot of people think he died because he told too much, and he wrote regularly about future weapon systems. And he wasn't just blue-skying about future weapon systems because he was one of the guys designing them. Okay, in a book called Toward the Year 2018, which came out in 1968, mm-hmm. he had an article in which he wrote, by the year 2018, technology will make available to the leaders of the major nations a variety of techniques for conducting secret warfare. Whether modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm, thereby weakening a nation's capacity and forcing it to accept the demands of the competitor.
Ooh. I'm sorry if I need to take that. Bonnie's doing the same thing. Yeah.
I can't even form a sentence.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's enraging. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, one of the insiders in all this that should ring a bell with you is Zbigniew New Brzezinski. Mr. Zbig was national security advisor to Jimmy Carter and officially and unofficially to several other presidents. He is also a founding member of the Trilateral Commission, member of the Bilderbergers, and practically every insider bad guy organization any conspiracy theorist would care to name.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a monumental book called Between Two Ages in 1970. Now, 1970, it hadn't yet surfaced that Operation Popeye was in the works.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1970, he wrote, not only have new weapons been developed, but some of the basic concepts of geography and strategy have been fundamentally altered. Space and weather control have replaced Suez or Gibraltar as key elements of strategy.
Okay.
Now, he's saying this before anybody had a clue that weather was being used as a weapon. Of course, he knew it because he was one of the insiders. But now, this is a key point.
Mm-hmm.
Is Zbig tells us that Gibraltar and Suez have been replaced by space and weather control.
Okay.
Now, that was in 1970. That was 8 years before the Environmental Modification Treaty banning using weather as a weapon was signed into law.
Mm-hmm.
And that treaty, by the way, is an absolute screaming disaster. It is no better than a joke.
Yeah.
In the book Weather Warfare, the Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, I spend an entire chapter examining its failure and the failure of other NMOD legislation that led up to it and followed after it, such as Dennis Kucinich's Space Preservation Act, and one that's working its way through Congress right now. In 2005, Hutchinson introduced a bill that was the Weather Modification Advisory Board Act. There had been a Weather Advisory Board constructed by the U.S. government in the mid-70s, and it had been dismantled after we signed the NMOD Treaty. K. Bailey Hutchinson wanted to recreate it, and this board would then not just learn everything there was to know about what's going on in weather modification, but pick out good research projects and give them government grant money to continue developing environmental modification technology, something Uncle Sam hasn't done since 78.
Mm-hmm.
That bill came out of committee, went onto the Senate's calendar and then never came up for a vote because there was a lot of quiet opposition to it. It quietly died and then was reintroduced by Udall of Senator Udall, I think, of Utah. Udall's version had one word changed. It went from weather modification to weather mitigation.
Oh, so
yes, in an attempt to cash in on Al Gore's success, they simply changed the bill to rather than we're going to modify it for good things, we're going to modify it to prevent it from doing bad things.
Oh, so we're basically okay. All right. I mean, true weather warfare right there. Let's commit. Let's make war with the weather itself. From what I'm hearing here, Jerry.
Exactly. Making as I put it somewhat tongue in cheek in the reading title of the book, the intent is to draft Mother Nature.
Exactly. I mean,
or yo, your mama nature wears combat boots.
Oh my.
Well, and again, that, I mean, and I'm going to be flat out with this thing. I mean, that right there is an appalling case of, again, people thinking they are above nature. I think we've kind of stated our opinion on this thing. All of us have. And again, that's an appalling example of that, of where, well, again, it sounds like at the end of the day, it's masking what they're truly doing, obviously.
Yeah, that's the way it usually works.
We're trying to help you people. We're trying to do this for the good of humanity.
We're from the government. We're here to help you.
Exactly. Which
is a bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So they're doing this for the reason to save humanity. We're going to save the world now, and keep you all from, you know, keep this planet from destroying itself from the horrible weather.
Well, if that's the case, why do we ever have any weather-related disasters?
Well, we do. I mean, obviously,
but
there's
a lot
they're
of
doing it to help us. Why do we?
There's
have
a lot of people playing. There's a lot of people playing, and the people playing don't always know who's playing.
That's scary.
Yeah, and you don't always get what you predict. You know, you as we discussed earlier, as in the Hatfield case. You agree to make it rain a little, and it rains a whole lot, and it floods out of province. The Chinese ran into this 2 years ago when their weather modification program got out of hand, and they got record rains and snows because they turned up the knob a little too high.
Let me ask you this. I mean, this is a little. I mean, I noticed weird. I mean. Especially, I mean, maybe it's because I'm more conscious of it or not, Jerry, but the last 5 years, we're in Michigan here, okay? And the last 5 years, I mean, I've seen some really strange weather happen here. You know, obviously we're in Michigan, we get a lot of snow here. But we've gotten, and Bonnie, you can back me up on this, we've gotten times where we've had, I mean, there was a couple days throughout our winter this year. Earlier this year, when we had our winter season, where it literally warmed up to almost 70 to 80 degrees on a couple of days, and we were all out with our shorts on, like in January, walking around. And then the next day, it would literally, we'd have a snowstorm come through. We'd have a blizzard come through and have below zero temperatures almost, Jerry. And, I mean, this is just Michigan. I mean, I'm not asking you, like, what are they doing here in Michigan, Jerry? But, I mean, I'm noticing, and especially over the last 5 years, I've noticed some really, really dramatic changes in the weather. Our winter seems to be lasting a lot longer now. It just started getting hot here, like,
and
this week.
Harsher.
Yeah, the winter's a lot harsher. It just started getting warm, I mean, literally warm, this week here in Michigan, as far as hot weather, our normal hot weather here. And I'm noticing these things. My question is, I mean, if somebody commits one of these acts, or they manipulate the weather, or they mitigate the weather in another part of the country, or, you know, maybe even the world, who knows, Jerry, could it affect other parts of the world possibly? Could it bleed over? I mean, because, again, this isn't an exact science. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. What you have asked is defined as the butterfly principle.
Okay.
The butterfly principle was proposed in the 1970s by a meteorologist who recognized that there is really no such thing as local weather, that the Earth's envelope of an atmosphere is a closed system, so that anything that happens in the atmosphere affects whatever's next to it, which affects whatever next to it, which affects whatever's next to it, and so it affects the entire system.
Okay.
And he illustrated the idea by saying that the flapping of the wings of a butterfly in Brazil could result in a tornado touching down in Kansas.
Okay, so I mean, what I'm basically my question, what I was thinking, it is true. Things that could be happening on the other side of our country, for example, could affect what's going on here in Michigan.
And what's going on in China?
Yeah.
China is in the same is in the Northern Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
China has been having tremendous impact on the western third of the U.S. for the last decade. There was a sandstorm in the Gobi Desert. I think it was 2003, where the jet stream almost touched down or did touch down, and billions of tons of Gobi Desert sand were put into the stratosphere because of it. For 3 weeks, the western third of the United States was blanketed in a tan fog from Phoenix to Calgary. There were 3 days in downtown Reno you could not see the end of the block, and nobody could believe, was this is desert dust from China?
It seems totally unimaginable that could happen, Jerry.
And yet we do know that coral is dying off in the Caribbean because of sand mites from sand from the Sahara, which is being blown across the Atlantic Ocean and dumped into Caribbean coral beds.
And again, it seems, because we always hear, I know here in Michigan, as far as our national parks are concerned, they have a very, and this is related, but not related at the same time. I mean, just for the ecosystem alone, right? Just for our ecosystem. That's why they say do not introduce any type of, other animals into the ecosystem. Do not dump anything out here if you don't want an animal. Don't put it into our ecosystem. For example, Tom, a good friend of our show here, Tom Mott, was out walking on the west part, the west side of the state here in Michigan. He was out taking a walk in a national park, and he come across what he found out to be a false water cobra. Okay, that is not native to Michigan, not even closely native to Michigan. Okay,
yeah, there's lots of issues with invasive species, and you can name practically any waterway in the world has got something that's not supposed to be in it at this point.
Well, we're talking about weather now, and it seems like if you're displacing elements from a whole different part of the world to another part of the world, that could cause problems. Also, it seems, Jerry.
Exactly, we are living in a time of global climate change, and the scientific community is fixated on greenhouse gases, and my book, Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, is all about there's a whole lot more than just greenhouse gases going on.
Well, obviously. We're blacking out the sun, it sounds like, on the Western Hemisphere. It's numbing. I have to ask you about Agent Orange. We always hear about Agent Orange as far as Vietnam's concerned.
Agent Orange, Agent White, and there were several others. Yes, it was the defoliants used in Vietnam were political in nature. We were told at the time that these were to clear roads and landing strips. No, it goes back to when the U.S. government hired buffalo hunters to kill the buffaloes by the millions because they realized that the Plains Indian economy was based on the buffalo. If there is no buffalo, there's no Plains Indian. And they reasoned that as the ocean is to a fish, if the ocean goes away, the fish is dead. If the Viet Cong lived in the jungle and got support and sustenance and shelter from the jungle, if we make the jungle go away, the Viet Cong will go away. And we poured literally millions of gallons of defoliants on the jungle in an attempt to make it go away.
Oh.
Oddly enough, we are suffering repercussions from that right now because the avian flu that the world is bracing for first appeared in the areas that had been saturated with Agent Orange, Agent White, etc., which is a known reprogrammer of DNA. The avian flu is probably the direct descendant of Agent Orange.
My goodness.
And it's a dumb comment, I guess, to even make, I guess. But it always comes down to this, it seems like, when we talk about things like this on the show, the short-sightedness of the people in charge when it comes to something like Agent Orange, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just use it. We need it right now. Let's just use this thing. Let's not worry about the repercussions 20 years, 30 years down the road. We need it right now. We need to win this war, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, the alternate of that is the atomic bomb. As they were preparing for the first atom bomb test, about 20% of the scientists involved realized that this thing could be hot enough to ignite the atmosphere. It could actually be hot enough to make oxygen burn in atmosphere. And a minority letter was sent to the president begging him to stop the nuke shot because they thought it might end all life on this planet. And President Harry Truman weighed winning the war versus destroying the Earth and decided winning the war was more important.
Oh, my God.
And that is the shining example of an overinflated ego, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, bottom line, I have no other name for that. When the safety of the planet is underlined with winning, we need to win this war.
That's ridiculous.
I'm enraged. And unfortunately, yeah, we're at the top of the hour, Jerry. I'm very sorry. I know we could go on for days about this.
This time flies.
This show is flying. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to have you back on here and talk about this stuff. And it's a real eye-opener to hear these things and hear that the environment literally is being manipulated for, you know, we need to win this war.
Yeah.
Yep. And fun and profit.
And, yeah, well, that's the end of the day. I mean, that's what it's all about, I think.
Yep. Parting shot, Jerry E. Smith,
yes.
JerryEsmith, JerryEsmith.com, Adventures Unlimited Press, AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com.
Yes, fantastic. Jerry, hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet, okay? We're just going to go to break here, guys. This is Ghostly Talk. Coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to David Seelaff. This is one of those shows where we're just taking
your head hurts.
Well, yeah, where it hurts, but we're just taking some 90-degree turns. It's a wild ride. Stay with us, guys. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Elk.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.